Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com, live from the Quest Diagnostics Center in East Rutherford, New Jersey. I'm Paul Dottino. He's Howard Cross, at Howard Cross 87 on Twitter, at Giants WFAN on Twitter. You can always hit us up at hashtag Giants Chat. We'll be here for the next hour to talk New York Giants football, answer your questions, talk about your comments, and figure out what the Giants need to do on Sunday against the Los Angeles Rams over in England. Remember, kickoff is at 9:30 Eastern time in the morning because the game is across the pond. Now, the Giants will be heading out to practice in a very short while. The pre-practice injury report is unavailable at this time because they're still in some meetings before they head out to the field. And so we have nothing to update you on right there other than to tell you that Coach McAdoo had said the other day he was hopeful but did not know if Odell Beckham Jr. and his sore hip pointer would be able to hit the practice field. Certainly the Giants would like him to be able to do something. Nonetheless, I'm pretty sure he's going to try to play.
I'm pretty sure he'll try to play. Odell's like another guy that's a gamer. He likes to get out there and go no matter what. Took a pretty nasty fall just on his hip on the field. Kind of one of those things that you don't really – I don't know how to explain it other than if you land exactly right and your body's just torqued enough, it hurts and it leaves a nice little mark.
Did you ever have one?
Yeah, I've had a bunch of stuff.
but that injury in particular, how hard is it to play through? How much does it affect you? Is it a pain tolerance?
If it's a pain tolerance, he'll be fine. It depends on if it restricts him from lifting his leg or anything. Didn't like that was the case during the game, so – I think that's probably the biggest part of it. If you have, if you have any restriction moving your leg, kind of like a groin injury, you saw those guys out. Mm-hmm. Artie, you know, Cromartie had to, like, struggle lifting his leg, running routes and stuff, and defending routes. That's a hard thing. But if it's just a bruise, then the biggest thing is, keeping it warm, keeping it loose, keep it going. You can ride the bike before you get started, and
yep,
it can get it going. And once it gets going, you can go with it.
The first 200-yard game of Odell Beckham Jr.'s career, this his third pro season, also came up with a couple of touchdown catches in that victory over the Baltimore Ravens. Mm-hmm. As a result, this morning, he was named the NFC's Offensive Player of the Week. No surprise, Howard, because truly spectacular performance by him, catching three long passes, two of them for scores.
Oh, you mean he's not named the Crybaby of the Week or, the Antics Guy of the Week?
The league kept it to football this time.
So they're actually watching games now instead of, complaining every day. Look, the kid's a talented player, and Eli, I think the game's – even though Odell is the player of the week, I think the player of the game was Eli. Eli actually stepped it up, started moving around the pocket, not worrying so much about who's going to hit him and when they're going to get there. He picked this game up like we were calling for, and now you can see what happens when that goes. You got great, talented receivers. You start getting the ball to them, and then they start making plays for you.
You know what was funny, Howard? I think that – so many people were criticizing the Giants' lack of a running game. And, of course, they didn't run the ball for even 40 yards against the Ravens. Mm-hmm. But they found ways to move the ball with the passing game. It did not result in a high time of possession. They only had the ball for about 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. So the defense was on the field a lot. You really don't want to consistently do it that way week in and week out. But on occasion, it can still be effective and you can still win.
I think the running game is a very important part of the game. I think that, being able to move the ball on the ground does a lot for your defense, keeps them off the field. It does a lot for all parts of the game. But in the case of if you're going to score a lot of points, if you're going to score more than the other team, if you're going to put points on the board, it doesn't really
matter. You win.
Yeah, so you got to figure out your defensive guys got to be in great shape. Hey, look, we're going to be right back out there, but we're going to score touchdowns.
In your day, and I'm not trying to date Howard or anything, but in your day, the London trips did not exist. Okay, this is now 10 years in. The NFL has done these London trips. Mm-hmm. The Giants went over in 2007. You'll recall, folks, they beat the Miami Dolphins mm-hmm. on a very wet, soggy surface. Eli Manning scrambled for a touchdown, one of the very unique highlights mm-hmm. of his career. Your thoughts on the fact that the Rams went to Detroit on Sunday, then wound up going to London right away because they didn't want to have to go back to L.A. and make that long trip. The Giants are going out on Thursday. Any thoughts about the difference in the travel plans by both teams?
Well, the first we'll address the Giants. The Giants is like going to a West Coast trip, except they're just heading east.
Right.
So that's why they go out on Thursday. get an extra day in there because of the time change. But it's a West Coast trip, 6-hour flight, no, not a big deal. The Rams are coming across the country, so they're going to 6 hours one, then doing another 6-hour trip. They need to be out there a week earlier so they can start to get, you know, acclimated to the situation of being in London across the pond. When they come back, they're going to need definite time off because they got a 12-hour flight coming back.
Yeah, that's a long trip.
Yeah, I mean, it just is. I don't think the big thing is your bumps, your bruises, your aches, your pains. Being on a plane for that long, that affects you.
All right. The Giants, by the way, one other thing I want to mention about the injuries. We did see the other day that Darian Thompson has the boot off of his foot. Mm-hmm. That's good news for progress in terms of his sprain.
Yep.
Again, don't know what the status is for him this week, but it looks like he's getting closer.
I mean, if he is close, that's good. I think if we can, you know, go without him one more week to give him that week off, you know, that bye week would be excellent to get back into the flow of the game. After the bye week, he's had two full weeks of no contact and getting himself stronger, then you have him for the rest of the year. But you got to hope that he's there. Hopefully he's closer to that moment than we know.
I should probably ask you, it's been a few weeks now that Andrew Adams has had to be a starting safety on this team.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? After that one special teams penalty several weeks ago that, of course, nobody was very happy with, he's done okay.
He has. You know, I know that my man doesn't play the ball well. 21.
Landon Collins.
Landon is he doesn't play the ball well in the air.
Can we get him some stick-em, please?
That's why he plays in the secondary. But Landon does have the ability to help, you know, get everybody in their positions on the field. And that's a good thing. Knowing where you're supposed to be, able to communicate with the other guys and keep them in place, able to help young Adams out there and saying, hey, look, here's what we're going to do. You see a lot of communication between the two of them, and they're doing a decent job, knock on wood, they are.
We do have a Twitter comment about the safeties. A.J. Marshall just wants to know, Nat Burhey, will he play this week or after the bye? Remember, he's been in concussion protocol. Do not have word yet as to whether or not that's been lifted. Today is the Giants' first time they're out on the field this week for practice. So we'll find out in about an hour or so if he's allowed to dress and get out there on the field. Remember, until he's cleared, he's not allowed on the field.
Yeah, you know, the thing with Matt, he is a heat-seeking missile kind of player. He goes in full speed to blow plays up. He's not the biggest guy. So when he goes in, like, everything is getting banged around his head, his neck, his shoulders.
And by the way, yeah, he hits like a truck.
Yeah, well, he hits like a truck. But, you know, if you're hitting something bigger than you, you can't run into that wall but so many times. That wall's not moving always.
All right, Howard, let's go to the phone calls. The people want to chime in. It's 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Our first call today is from across the pond in England.
All right, Jay.
Hey, how you doing,
you're
guys?
On line three. Hello.
Very good.
How you doing, guys?
Great.
Hey, I'll be at the game. I'll be down there.
Good stuff.
Hopefully on the field, holding the flag for the United States of America.
Nice, nice. I like that.
Nice.
So I just got a question. And actually, I'm glad I'm speaking to you, Mr. Cross. What do you feel about Donnell and the way he holds the ball when he jumps in the air, leaving his arm out, like kind of exposing the ball to be fumbled or to be stripped? And that play where he was running towards the first down line, and then he kind of just tried to do a juke against a defender that was like 2 yards out. And got stopped behind the line. I'll take your answer behind the call.
Thank you, Jay.
Well, here's the thing. I don't, you know, give him a pass for any of this, but the kid's a basketball player. I mean, that's
what he was.
He's a basketball player. The finite moments of the game, he still hasn't gotten into his, you know, it's not ingrained in his system. He's out there because he's an athlete. He's going to make some plays. He's going to do some good things. But there will be these lapses of football instinct, so to speak. The jumping is simple, and I keep telling people this. They keep making fun of the whole thing. If you're not used to getting hit in your legs and you're that tall, you'll do anything you can to keep people from hitting you in your legs. Now, you might give up the ball when you do it. You might fumble when you do it. And everybody's like all freaked out about it. But it's something. If you have the ability to jump, when you see somebody coming at you, you try to jump. He's just not the. He's just not, you know, familiar with that part of the game yet. He, like I saw in the game, he jumped over a safety. The guy was there. The guy was breaking down. If he drops his shoulder and just lunges straight into the guy with his shoulder, he's going to crush that guy. He weighs 270 pounds, but instead he tried to jump over him. That's, you know, that's what's ingrained in his system. I don't know how he's going to get out of it or if he ever will, but that's who he is.
Just for the record, and Larry Donnell's five-year career with the Giants, and he didn't play in 83 as a rookie, or 2003 as a rookie. Let me correct myself. I said 83 was my rookie season. In his time with the Giants, 45 games he's appeared in, he has four career fumbles, according to the stat book, and all four of them came in 2004. Mm-hmm. So we are kind of remembering, and it's kind of emblazoned in our heads, the times when he has fumbled and the times that he has jumped. In reality, in three of his four seasons that he's played, he has not fumbled.
Yeah, but how many receptions does he have?
He has 109 catches.
109 catches.
And four fumbles.
And how many targets does he have? Does that say?
157.
So out of 157 targets, he's had four fumbles. So that's what people are seeing. They're seeing it like, okay, it's not a quarter of the time, but it's like 15-18% of the time he may be fumbling. Okay, guys, I'll take 150 receptions, 200 receptions, and two fumbles. I will. I'll take it. But, you know, it just comes in bad time. I hope that he doesn't ever fumble. But it happens.
Of course.
Sometimes the ball comes out.
Remember, the two things that Larry Donnell does bring to the table, he has good hands to catch the ball, usually catches it when it's thrown to him, mm-hmm. and a very large catching radius.
Yes,
has a great wide wingspan.
Absolutely. I like that.
All right, let's go back to the phone calls. On line two, LeVar in Atlanta, you're next on the show.
How you guys doing?
Hi.
Very good. How you doing, LeVar?
Doing all right. I just want to quickly piggyback off the last caller and then speak about the Rams game. The reason Donnell scares us, the fans, and I know you guys got to put the positive spin on it, and that's good, but it's just his football, like Howard said, his football IQ was just bad. On that third and one, we didn't know Beckham was going to save the day. Nobody did. I think all of us were dropping our heads when he juked that cornerback who was half his size and went out of bounds before getting the first down. And then, the week before that, no, his concussion where he got blown up because he didn't get low enough to block the blitzing linebacker, Anthony Barr, and he stumbled like five yards in the backfield. He's not a football tight end. He is a basketball player, and this is football. But to get to the Rams game, we're better than this team. I think the Giants should believe that they're better than this team. On paper, we're going to London. It's a long trip, a longer trip for them. I hope Ty Gurley doesn't wake up this week. I hope we can get the running game going. Statistically, they're not that great against the run this year. Having the Sensabaugh kid here should give some insight to what they like to do on defense. He was on the team for the first three games. I'm pretty sure the Giants are picking his brain a little bit about what they do in the secondary, what to expect. I think if we can get the running game going just a little bit, maybe get, 80 to 90 yards, then that should open things up more for the passing game. And this is a game we really have to have. Going into the bye 4-3 with some confidence, getting guys like Thompson back, Apple back, then going into a three-game homestand would be a lot better than going into a 3-4, and I'll take it off the air. Thanks, guys.
All right, LeVar, thank you.
All right, so I'll start like this. I think the fans, if you watch the game, take this into account. Eli operates better from the no huddle, snapping the ball like 25 seconds on the clock instead of that 4, mm-hmm. 3, 2, and snap the ball. So if you notice, what was happening is that there's a little bit more of the Eli calling the game when the game's going on.
Right.
And that seems to be more effective for the entire offense. A running game kind of implies that you're just going to go with whatever's called. We're going to run it into them. We're going to butt our head against the wall. I would like to see them run the ball more. I'd like to see them be more effective running the ball. But if he's calling the game, there's no setting up and getting the run game going. I'd like to see a lot of things. I don't know why they are what they are, but I like winning more than I like to see things that make sense to me. So if he continues to play at the rate he's playing and at the level he's playing following this week, the Giants are going to be more effective. Secondly, you know, against the Rams, you have to remember this. I know people say we're better than the Rams, The Rams are a decent team. People don't like to hear that, but the Rams are a decent team.
They're 3-3.
Yeah, they're playing okay. You watch Hard Knocks, and they kind of painted a weird picture of them. Hard Knocks was basically, you know, an advertising thing just to let everyone know the Rams are in L.A. Here's our ad for it. It was a four or five week ad.
You mean the NFL's into marketing? Yeah. Is that really? Yeah.
4 or 5 week ad that was on HBO. They're an okay team. But as far as 50-50 teams go, I think the thing that we have to remember, you know, from fans and pay attention to this, they're the team that started the Odell I'm crazy thing, because they were the team that started the cheap shots on Odell.
McDonald and Ogletree.
There you go. So we have to be aware that they're a chippy team. They don't play – they play within the rules, but they play a little later into the whistle. If you know what I mean. They're the team that's going to do all these things. And a team that's not prepared for that could have problems. If the Giants go out and do their work, let all the pushing and shoving and the yakking go, then they have a good shot of winning the game. If they go out and this all starts to bother them, then they're going to have a hard time with this team.
I'm going to build off what Howard just said. Folks, you may not know the Los Angeles Rams are the third most penalized team in the league this year.
I can't imagine that.
And they've also had two players already ejected from games in the first six.
I can't imagine why that would be a problem. I mean, Coach Fisher, you know, was on the competition committee, and that's how he runs his program. And I'm not beating on Fisher, but that's how he runs his program. And if it was your coach and you wanted your guys edgy, you wanted your guys chippy, you wouldn't be upset. But when it's your team going against them, you see that as a major flaw.
Greg Williams is their defensive coordinator. His history is of overly physical defenses.
I think his history is a little overblown. That's just locker room talk. Let's get after guys. But now, you know, different world. You got to be politically correct when you say things.
Just remember, he was the defensive coordinator in 2014 when the Rams did start that stuff Odell. Just remember that.
I know. Physical.
Okay. Physical. Mm-hmm. 201-939-4513 is our phone number. Back to the phone calls. And Phil from Montclair, you're next. Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very well.
Very good.
You know, I was going to talk about Larry Donnell, but the guy stole my thunder, so I'll just leave that alone. my next question is why do the Giants play Trevin Wade so much? He's terrible, like just straight up and down. There's nothing he does good. Every time he's in a game, the teams pick on him. It doesn't matter what quarterback.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there. You are aware that for a couple of weeks, four of the Giants' top six defensive backs were on the shelf and unavailable, right?
But he doesn't.
I do know that.
Yeah.
Okay, so somebody's got to play.
There's nobody else on the team to play.
But what I'm saying is, though, like, this guy is so bad, there's nobody on practice squad where they can pick up.
Well,
like
they did actually promote Michael Hunter for the Green Bay game. How did that work out?
Wait.
You can't. Look, don't do that. Try to listen. There's nobody else on the team. The team is constantly scouring the wire to find new people to upgrade that moment. Most of the people are playing on other teams right now. If there was somebody out there that you thought or they thought that could be a suitable guy that could come in and play, the one thing you have to remember is the guy has to be available. And I don't mean available because he's free out there in the market, but available to play, meaning that if he can't go down to injury, we bring him in, we get rid of Wade, who's available and he's on the field, with a guy who's not available at all because he can't play after the first series. So you got a lot of things you have to think about. Hey, look, everyone knows that they're going to go after Trevin Wade every time he's on the field. The hope is that you get, you know, Eli Apple to be healthy and available. Right now, Eli Apple is second to Trevin Wade because Trevin Wade is always available. Eli Apple was watching games.
Not so much anymore. Trevin Wade injured his ankle last Sunday. Hold on.
Wait.
Hold on.
Just listen to what
Trevin
he's
Wade injured his ankle last Sunday in the game, and we're not even sure of his status going into practice today or for the Rams game. So he may not be available. So let's make that clear. And just last week, the Giants signed Cody Sensabaugh. off of the free agent list. And so there's certainly the possibility that Sensabaugh would wind up taking Wade's spot on the active roster on Sunday, or at least on the playing roster.
To the playing roster. Say the playing roster. So,
playing
so,
roster.
So they had to go out and sign
somebody. What I'm saying is that, I understand where you're coming from. Make totally sense. But he was bad last year. Like, why bring somebody who's just not good and create this situation? They could have got somebody before they got Sensabaugh.
I hate to do this to you.
He didn't play that bad. I thought he played better than
Wade.
Than Wade.
Well,
yeah.
Who?
Hunter. I don't know his first name.
Michael Hunter made the practice squad. Was promoted for the Green Bay game. Had a difficult time that night, and then was put down.
I thought
he played better than Wade. I mean, in my opinion.
I know it's your opinion, but you got to watch. You got to see what these guys are doing, man. I mean, everybody who steps on the field, you might be able to make the team, but once you get out there, you know, guys are looking for you. We're like, when I played, we were always looking for that guy. Trying to find a guy. I'm like, oh, I got one this week. You know, I got a guy that I know I can get to, so just run behind me. Look at this guy. He's my guy. Don't worry about it. You do it all the time. I mean, and that's just part of the game. We're always looking for the guy who's the least of the guys. We try to – if Trevin Wade has got a safety over the top and they got him protected, we're not worried about it, then all I got to do is change my formation to overload the other side. If I overload the other side, I can't protect him. So you just got to continuously do things to try to get to him. If I put him in the slot, then I bring somebody into the slot. It's believe me, teams will, you know, try to figure out what they're doing. But if they do too much of it, then they get in trouble. When you try to game plan to go after a certain guy, then you're in trouble. But that only happens when, in Wade's defense, that only happens when you have enough time to do it.
Thank you, Phil. I appreciate it.
I have one more question for you.
Okay, go ahead.
About the line. Now, when I watch Eric Flowers, I think he's trying hard. I just don't think that – I know it's his second year. I just don't think that he has the skills to be a left tackle. Now, being that team, you know, they switch their defensive ends or outside linebackers around. Would that make any difference from left from right? You know what I mean?
Left tackle to right tackle. Yeah, I don't think that his issue is left tackle or right tackle. I just think he plays high. I think he's a 6'7", 6'8" guy who. Trying to get him down to get to these guys who are trying to run around his you know hip to get to the quarterback. You got to like really super duper squat to get down to do all that stuff. I think that's more of his thing that he's got to draw on and try to figure out how to do that part of the game. As far as how he played this past week, I think he played okay. He gave up the one sack,
but he played pretty good.
It's a week. Two-week thing. And you got to know that he's sitting there looking over at the sideline and hearing people whisper about Beatty constantly. So he's like, I got to pick it up. I got to pick it up. If I want to stay on the field, I got to pick it up. And now that, you know, that Newhouse is starting to get healthier, there are going to be all kinds of conversations about all these guys. But right now, the line's playing okay.
Thanks for the call very much. Couple of Twitter comments we'll get to quickly here before we go back to the calls. E, the chosen one, and I want to bring this up now because he's talking about the offensive line. He says, bring up John Jerry's play and how great he has been this season, and it's a testament to all the offseason workouts. He went to a special offensive line school during the course of the offseason to try to improve his technique. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's done okay this year.
You know, again, the thing that people don't realize, and it's not just the Giants, and Harry Carson and I were just talking about this, the amount of reps that have been taken away from these guys to get better is amazing. You're going to have to be so well coached at the high school level or at the Pop Warner level, then at the college level to get to the pros, because once you get to the pros, your practice time almost doesn't exist anymore.
The CBA.
Yeah. So you're going to have to figure out a way, like Mr. Jerry did, to go down, find a group that can help hone your skills to get some reps, to get some sets, to get some opportunities to get better. And thank God he did that. Now, there's going to be a lot of money made. Listen to what I'm saying now. There are going to be schools like that popping up everywhere.
Why not?
I mean,
why not?
I might need to apply right now and get my school together.
Do I do a tight end school, Howard?
I'm talking about a blocking school.
Just a blocking school.
Just a blocking school.
Like, okay.
To understand that the amount of reps that these guys need to get better.
You need an investor? I'm ready to go.
You got to get – these schools are going to pop up. You know that they have – throwing camps all over the country, and we're gonna
that
go
they
and
do.
We're gonna flip tires together, and we're gonna do. But now they're gonna stop doing the tires, and they're gonna start working techniques. And when you can start working techniques, that's how you all get better.
Like Rocky, only they'll be tackling the beef that's hanging on the hooks instead of punching them.
All that tire flipping stuff, that's gonna be for a select few people that want to do that.
Yeah,
they're gonna start doing if they're smart, if they're intelligent, if there are guys out there, if there are old coaches. Who are like, you know what, I'm done coaching. I'm going to sit back and I'm done. I'm not going to coach anymore. The grind is too much for me. Oh, but I'm going to open up an offensive line camp.
there you go.
Y'all come down and see me. I got this space for that. All we're going to do is work on technique.
I absolutely see that happening,
Howard. They're like consultants, free agents. And when these guys do this, you can have a guy for like 4 weeks or 3 weeks. In 3 weeks or 2 weeks, he can get more reps and more ability in those 2 weeks than he get from the entire training camp that are running through the NFL.
And that school is going to make a lot of money, too.
Oh, man, they can make – man, I got to call somebody. I got to check my list.
Okay. I am Will Ruiz, one of our regular listeners on the program, says Aaron Donald is a blankety-blank stud, and I understand that. Can't stress that enough. Need to run effectively. Aaron Donald is about as good a defensive tackle in this game right now as there is.
Yeah, he possesses something that a lot of people don't think about. I think back to John Randall, you know. The Vikings. He's that total compact guy. He's not overweight. He's quick with his hands. He has great moves. He has great leverage because he's not, you know, 6'4", 6'5". Everything about him, he's basically a linebacker inside of a little defensive lineman's body. And he does great work. And he understands the game. So he's watching. He's a tape watcher. He's a student of the game. And when I say that, that means that he watches tape. He understands what's going on. And he's looking for things like, okay, what are the tails? What's happening? Okay, I know what formation, what they're going to do. But what's this guy do when that formation comes up? He looks for that. He's watching Eli's actions. Okay, Eli's not under the center. I got to do this. Eli's under center. There's a chance I got to do this. He's that guy. And he's a good guy. He doesn't get enough, in my opinion, he doesn't get enough promotion by the league. You know, we hear about J.J. Watt. We hear about, you know, Von Miller. But, you know, Donald, that kid can play.
Defensive tackles a lot of times do get overlooked.
I know, but that kid
Because they're
play.
Inside.
Yeah, but he can
play. And how funny is it that he was picked one pick after Odell Beckham Jr., and clearly those two players out of that draft are the two superstars that are elite players out of that
draft.
There
are a lot of elite players in that draft, but
those two guys are above everybody
well.
Else.
They've done very well.
We have Eric Schaefer just says, does anyone think that Jasper Brinkley should have been the starting linebacker? He stuffed the run better. Of course, Brinkley got hurt. In training camp, and that wound up hurting his chances of making the team.
You got to be well to play. You can't make the club in the tub.
Let's see. We also have here a guy asking for an update on OBJ's hip. Again, we don't have that quite now. We have here another one from Eric Schaefer says, football players are learning younger and better technology helps speed up the learning process. He also says that Perkins is gaining trust with the coaches or wants to know if he is, would like to see Perkins actually get a chance to start.
You know, for the technology thing, just so he's aware of this, Belichick just threw out Microsoft.
Did you see that?
Yes. So, on the bench,
he was so ticked off with that stupid little pad thing that he whipped it and smashed it.
I want you to understand, technology does not teach you. You have to feel. You have to do.
Wow.
You have to touch. If you don't do that, then I'm telling you, this is a very, very game that you have to feel leverage, weight, everything. If I told you to go in tomorrow and box – but you never sparred, you're going to get beat up. You're probably going to get beat up anyway, but you're going to get beat up a lot worse if you don't spar. And as for Perkins and what I'm seeing in Perkins, every week I see him in there a little bit more. I see him in there a little bit more on third down. I see him in more not just situational, but they're giving him series. So he's earning the trust of the coaches. Can he get to that next level and have a couple breakout games where they can't kind of feel like we can't really take him out of there? And you know who's why he's benefiting, where that came from? Shane Vereen being down.
Oh, yeah. If Shane wasn't down, I don't think Perkins would have seen the ball.
Perkins wouldn't be seeing the ball. But because Shane Vereen's down, hey, look, we got to find another, you know, explosive type guy out of the backfield, and that's what they're doing.
Okay, we go back to the phones. Larry from Allentown, you're next on the show.
Is that Pennsylvania?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, gentlemen, that's PA. How you doing today?
Hey, good to talk to you.
Good. Hey, Paul, I don't know if you remember, I called a couple of weeks ago and I was talking about the inability to hear the interviews from the questions of
reporters. You wanted to know why my voice is the only one that carries.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a coincidence or if you did anything, but it seems to get better. And I know you've been carrying two microphones now. You know, if anything was done, I want to thank you because it's somehow gotten better. I don't know if you had any part of
it. Well, you're welcome. I will tell you there are those around the facility who don't think I need a microphone.
No, I didn't think so, but everybody else does, but certainly not you. Hey, I just want to make one comment and one question. I wanted to share a quick fan experience. You know, in Pennsylvania, I'm an hour above Philadelphia, unfortunately.
Yes,
there you go.
And last week, the game wasn't on regular TV around here. I don't have a package, so I had to wind up going to a local pub. And walking into that pub, the Eagles game is the same time, and everything's covered in green. And over in the corner, in the smallest TV in the place, there's about 30 Giants fans. So I was happy to see that. And you should have seen at the end of the game when that touchdown was scored, and at the same time the Eagles were about to lose, the place erupted in that corner of blue. And you should have saw the look on all the Eagles fans when that happened. I ducked my head and tried to keep quiet so I didn't get beat up or anything. But that was quite an experience.
Safety is important.
Always.
Yeah, it's tough living in this area, I'll tell you. I wanted to comment on Eli. He's been taking a lot of heat lately, and one gentleman just was commenting about the offensive line. It seemed like this last game, the line in pass, anyway, did a much better job. I was looking at some of the throws that were made, and you guys do a good job online breaking down the one play. When Eli's got the time, I mean, he is very accurate in his passing. I was looking at it, and, I mean, when he's releasing some of those throws, the receiver is not even open at that time. I mean, he's got a lot of trust in being in tune with his receivers to get the ball to throw. Almost there was a couple plays where he threw them open, but you know, it seemed like to me they did a much better job giving him the time. And when he does have the time to throw, I mean, he's a top-notch quarterback. There was a couple, that 43-yard pass down the sideline there. I mean, he basically threw Odell open there. So I'm glad to see them, at least some improvement in that passing time, because that's where we're going to be successful, is giving Eli the time to throw the ball.
Larry, let me just say one thing. There's no quarterback that wants to get hit. None.
Mm-hmm.
I've yet to meet one of those, Howard. Maybe you met one. I never have.
Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Cam will run over you.
Yeah. All right. So maybe Cam. But okay. I've never known any other quarterback who wants to get hit. So there's nothing odd about that. He's only being human that he doesn't like to get hit. But I will say this. You know, he was only hit twice in the game the other day, both times by Suggs, and one of them was a sack. The line absolutely did a much better job, and they've done a good job in pass pro all season long. The Packer game was the worst game. But here's what I think you're getting to. And Howard, please address this, because when the passes are pinpoint on, it doesn't matter if they're short or long. When they're pinpoint on, that gives your receivers a much better chance to get yards after the catch. And we saw that.
Yes. So here's my thought on that. Eli's have been the quarterback that we've seen over his career that has taken a few hits but has been able to get rid of the ball, and he's been more effective than most under a lot of pressure. And this season, the way things started out, even though he wasn't always being hit, sometimes he was not getting the ball out. He was hearing ghosts, as we say, or hearing footsteps, and it kind of got to him. People started to complain about it. And he probably went back and watched film and goes, okay, I had time right there. I got to make that throw.
Right.
I had time right there. I got to make that throw. I have time right here. I got to make that throw. And then he, you know, self-adjusted and understood that just because he sees somebody in his, you know, in his flank, he still has enough time to get rid of it. And if he sees a shirt, you know, if he just sees an open color of another team, he knows how much time he has. But if he sees him on the edge of one of our players, he knows what time he has. He picked up his play this past week, and you can tell the difference in the game.
The most important thing that the best players do and the guys who are very studious do, when they're in a slump, they'll figure out a way to get out of it.
They just self-adjust. You know, mm-hmm. you know what's going on. You can see it happening, and you have to be able to adjust to it.
Right. Yeah, good. Absolutely a good point. I'm glad to see that things are starting to click. Everybody's saying, oh, when is it going to start to click? It's going to click when he has the time to throw the ball and him and his receivers are on the same page to get those timing plays down and put the ball where they need to be. So I agree 100%. And one just last question with this London trip, in a player's perspective, and I know I don't think they were doing this, Howard, back when you were playing, but
thank God.
Is it harder for these players to get up for these games? I mean, they're another country. They feel maybe a little isolated from their fan base. You know, who knows how the fans over there are going to split? Is it going to be Giants? You know, are they just there to have a good time? But is it harder to get emotionally invested when you're not used to having the same surroundings and not being home? And, you know, I would assume maybe, you know, obviously they're professionals. You want to lean on that. But, hey, we're all emotional people, and we all get motivated by different things. And I would imagine that it's got to be a different emotional experience for the players going into that game. You have any perspective on that?
My perspective on it is, this would just be my view of it. It's like playing in the Super Bowl without the weight of the Super Bowl. Because most of the fans at the Super Bowl aren't your fans. And
right.
People don't realize that. They're just
corporations.
There are people there. They're mm-hmm. going on. So you play the game at your hardest, highest level because it's time for you to play that game. So when you go to London, it's a lot of the same thing without there being the weight of the Super Bowl. You're not worried about, you know, who's watching you, who's screaming for you, who's not screaming for you. You're worried about, okay, is Donald going to get through the line and hit my quarterback? You're worried about, am I going to be – is Odell going to be down the field wide open? You're worried about, can we get to Todd Gurley in time? Can we get to Case Keenum to make him throw off his back foot? Those are all the things you look for and you worry about as players. I know that – and this is just, you know, me from the way I'm viewing it. I know that the fans want it to be more than that, but the players, it's so hard to play the game. If you're concerned about where you are when you show up to play, then you're not going to be in the league very long. So when you show up, you show up to play wherever you can play anytime. It's kind of like the only time I've ever seen it where it was totally the opposite in a bad moment, unfortunately, was the year of Katrina when New Orleans came here. They were displaced.
Yeah, that's true.
They had a hard time. I literally felt bad for the Saints in that game. They were playing a home game at Giant Stadium, and it was just hard on them. And it was tough. You know, they had been through the death, the destruction. They saw all the stuff. Then they had to come here and play a game. That was tough. But outside of that, look at the displaced players in college football when they have to go to another stadium and play. They get after them. They want to play.
Right.
So that's how the game works.
Okay. Very
thank
good.
You, Larry.
Well, I appreciate that. And thank you very much. Have a great day, guys.
You too. Now. Line 3 has JD in North Carolina. You're next on the show.
Hey, Paul Howard.
Hi.
Always awesome to get a chance to talk to you guys.
Thank you.
Had two questions, one for offense, one on defense. For the offense, I wanted to kind of address the situation with Will Johnson and Nikita Whitlock. I think, you know, a lot of people are like, hey, you know, why aren't we running the ball more? You know, where's the blocking tight end coming from? You know, where's the fullback? We have those guys on the roster. I think some people may be forgetting that. But Will Johnson and Nikita Whitlock were going to be a big part of the running game. And unfortunately, they both went down. and it seems like there really wasn't anybody else to fill those roles. Obviously, if there were, the organization would have brought the guys in. Or if they were already on the roster, you know, we would have seen those guys out there right now. So maybe this is incorrect, but that would lead me to believe that there might be a part of the offense that they were intending, you know, they were planning to run the ball more than they are. But due to the injuries and roster issues, they've had to kind of adapt And the offense recently has seemed to kind of morph into more of a Andy Reid, you know, Brian Westbrook era, in the sense of they're using that short passing game to supplement the lack of handing the ball off. And I want to get your guys' opinion on that. You know, do you think the offense would look a lot different if Will Johnson and Nikita Whitlock were here? And then I had one question for the defense.
Go ahead, Howard.
From an offensive standpoint, I don't think the offense would look that much different. I think that, as you noticed, like I was saying earlier, that Eli is more comfortable in that no-huddle type offense. A fullback limits the number of plays and the selection of plays in that no-huddle type moment when you have a fullback, a back, a tight end, and two receivers. You can only run a certain set of plays. It's not that it's predictable. It's just that it's only a certain set of plays. If it was the quote-unquote offensive line like a Dallas Cowboys, where they're geared, built to run the ball, it would look different. I think fans have to take into account also that we have even though Flowers is a really big man, the rest of those guys are relatively, you know, average to smaller offensive linemen. So that's why I don't believe that power running game, running over guys and pressing the moment, would actually truly exist with the team right now.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you. And then for the defense, the question I had is, it seems like these guys are going to get worn down sooner or later playing the amount of snaps that they are. And it doesn't seem like it's due to a lack of options. It wouldn't seem like it anyway. We've got Aquara on the roster, Dickie Zua, Kerry Wynn. Devin Kennard has been lined up as a pass rusher. Why is it you guys think that they're not being rotated in at a higher rate? And do you think it's a red flag that they don't think they can trust these guys to come in, or is that not the issue? What do you think the situation is there?
I would say that it's absolutely the opposite. I would think of it this way. When your starters are in, they have to get stops. They have to get themselves off the field. It's not that rotating guys in, that you have these guys in because you're paying them the most and you're paying them to get stops and get off the field. And if they're not getting stops and getting off the field, you're rotating other guys in that they're there to spell them when it's a tough game. If they're not getting the stops themselves, it's kind of hard to bring another guy in. It's like, hey, look, you're not getting stops. Come take a breather so you can get a rest. maybe you can get enough energy to go out there and not get a stop. You have to make plays. Every time there's a chance to get an interception, you got to take it. Every time there's a chance to knock a ball down, you got to do it. Every time there's a chance to hit the quarterback, you got to hit him. You can't just rotate guys in to get stops when the guys that are in aren't getting the stops. They're getting a lot of plays because they're giving up third downs. If they can find a way to give up those third and nines, third and tens, if they can find a way to stop those from happening, to stop those completions, to stop those plays from going on, and rally to the ball and make those tackles in those moments, they won't have as many defensive plays as we keep hearing about.
All right. Thank you very much, guys. Have a great day.
No problem.
Thank you. Ann in Virginia, you're next on the show. Hello.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Gentlemen. Bear with me. I have a sore throat, but I happen to be on my lunch hour.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if you can hear me or not.
Yes, ma'am.
But I would like to get the same time awarded to me that all the men had.
Yes, ma'am.
Afforded to them. And I would like to give a woman's view. And I am going to talk about two questions. And I'm going to stay on the line. Just as those men were allowed to sit on the line, I would like the same
That's
opportunity
not a problem.
Afforded
just
to me.
Just tell me the question.
My question is, who hired Ben McAdoo? And give me one day, and he's fired. I'm going to get rid of him. He stinks. And then you have Spagnuolo, who's terrible. So my first question is, who's responsible for hiring the coaches?
The owner and the GM.
Okay, so did Jerry Reese, who hired Ben McAdoo?
The owner and the GM.
He answered you.
Let's go to the next question.
Hold on for a second.
Wait.
Let me help you out. Ready? Do you know why they hired him?
I don't care why they hired him. He's terrible. He's hired him because they did not do their job. He's god awful. My question.
They let her go. Okay, so her question was, who hired Ben McAdoo? And for the fans who are listening, because she's not a fan, but of Coach McAdoo, I can explain it like this. Eli had his most productive years as quarterback, even though the offensive line was struggling when Coach McAdoo was on. And to totally uproot the quote-unquote offensive game with taking Eli out and taking all these things out would have been a problem. And they went out and interviewed coaches. They looked at coaches. And McAdoo actually had an opportunity to go to other teams as well. So the team had to pull the trigger on, you know, continuity and trying to get a chance to – you only have so many more years left with Eli.
Yeah.
So you have to do what's best for that moment going forward. And I'm sorry that they cut you off, but that's just part of it.
Doug's from Kansas City. You're next on the show.
Hey, what's going on, you guys?
Hey, how's it going?
Very good.
I'm all right. I'm not ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater like the last caller. But I was pretty depressed during that three-game losing streak. I was just happy to see us pull it out. I just wanted to say a couple things. I think that fourth down play that Casillas made, I hope that's a play that kind of helps him arrive as a leader in our linebacking core. You know, I was watching the sights and sounds of the game and how he was like going around before the pregame and how he was trying to keep everybody calm when we went down 10-0 in that first quarter. I just hope that play kind of helps propel him as a leader in that linebacking core, because I think that's really what we're missing. I think we've got leaders on the D line. I think we've got a leader back there with Collins, and I just think we just needed somebody to be that outspoken guy.
Well, if I may just say one thing to you, okay, and I don't want to cut you off. You're going to be – I'll keep you on the line. First of all, I think he's played the best of the Giants linebackers so far this year, but understand that they had a player vote, and he was voted the defensive captain on this team before opening day. So the players already view him as a leader. Before anything you saw the other day, he was voted a co-captain.
And the other thing is about that is that he actually makes plays. You know, understanding what to do, being able to get to the spot to make plays, that's – you don't just wear the C on the chest. You have to make the plays to be awarded that. The players saw that he was going to be able to do that before any of us could you know, decide who was going to be the leader on the team. They chose him.
Yeah, I was just happy to see that. Another thing is it just stubbornness or what is it? Is McAdoo like refusing to put in a jumbo package? I mean, I was so jealous to see the Ravens roll out that elephant package or whatever, that jumbo package they had when they're on fourth and one. I'm like, I mean, you know, and I know we stopped them in that package, so that's a catch-22, but I would just like to see us, you know, but they also pushed it in on us one time with that same package too, you know what I'm saying? I'm just
right.
Is it some stubbornness or what
no,
is it?
Because
we got Will Beatty. I would like to see him just come in and be eligible, you know, on the goal line and just be like, replace our tight end who's going to end up in Eli's lap with
BD
on fourth and one.
And I'll say to you what I said to another caller. I think that you have to consider, and no one really thinks of this, we do have one of the smallest offensive lines in the league. Mm-hmm. The meat and potatoes of a defensive line are those three guys, the interior three guys. If those three guys are man on our guys and there's any push back into our lap from the snap of the ball, a lot of bad things can happen. Now, I don't know if they're, you know, if those three guys on our guys, our three interior guys, think that way. But when I'm looking at, you know, pressure and the push and, quote, unquote, that arc we used to call it, where your offensive line either arcs towards, you know, scoring or arcs into the backfield, I want to keep the arc always that way. What fans seem to see is the tight end itself being a soft spot. But you got to be able to get to the tight end and consistently get to the tight end position to make that position a position where you can say, like, okay, we got all these guys blocked. When we get to the tight end, hey, Beattie, come in. Hey, Jones, come in. You guys get out and play our tight ends, and now we're going to go. I don't know. I don't know if that's 100% accurate in my view of what I'm seeing, but I just don't think you can get to the edge that quick.
I kind of agree with you that our offensive line, like compared to other offensive lines, well, especially when I was looking at the Ravens' offensive line, their offensive line looked way bigger than our guys, except for Flowers. But what I was thinking is, like, with us being kind of light in the middle, we would want to run off of the edges more, but it seems like if we want to run off the edges, we can only run to one side, because if we run towards the tight end side, he's going to end up on our lap, and you know, he's going to end up in the running back's lap. And I'm just thinking, like, you know, I just hate to see us doing shotgun on 4th-and-1. And I'll take your response offline.
Thank you, Nugs.
Thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
No problem. So if I'm coaching Pee Wee Ball, this is what I do. I put my biggest, baddest dude in the middle of the line. I tell him to put as much pressure on the center, put as much pressure on those guards, to push the whole pile back as far as you can. And then I tell everybody on the edge just to run.
Mm-hmm.
If you see the ball heading your direction, run laterally and never let it happen. So now the middle of the field's cut off. There's no cutback. You're stretching to the sideline, and everybody's running vertically. They're just running down. They're trying to keep it parallel to the line of scrimmage,
sure,
to keep you stretched out, and eventually there are people start poking through that fence at you, and they get you. Either the sideline stops you or one of those guys stop you. And I think, you know, and again, I would love for the team to be able to get in there and just, you know, road grade and get out there. But if you can't get it in the middle and you have to go to the edge, every step that you go laterally to get to the edge is one step further away from the line of scrimmage. So think of it this way. The closest distance between two points is a straight line. If your straight line is this way, if you're a yard off the ball, you're a yard in the backfield, maybe 2 yards in the backfield, you go straight 3 yards, touchdown. If you have to go to the tackle, to the tight end, you're adding a yard or two every step you take.
Mm-hmm.
Every step you take, you're giving those guys another yard or two to get upfield. You're trying to get into the end zone. The Ravens ran up the middle with their heavy package. They did not run to the tight end.
I would also add it. It's rather unique. The Giants' last two Pro Bowl centers, talking about centers, mm-hmm, and Richburg is an undersized center. Mm-hmm. He's a technician more than he is a big body. Were Sean O'Hara, mm-hmm, and Bart Oates, who were both relatively undersized
small,
centers,
yep,
believe
yep,
it or not.
Yep, very active but smaller guys. So
yeah,
again, it's
so
just,
it can be done, but it's
done,
hard.
But you got to have two big massive bodies beside them to
yeah,
help them get the thing going. It's crazy.
All right, it's time for Charlie in Portland,
oh,
Maine.
Oh, wow, Charlie's back. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hi.
Very good.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to piggyback a little bit off the O-line.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, Howard, you said they're playing okay. Well, we got to play better than okay, because if we're only rushing for 44, 43, and 38 yards in mm-hmm, some of these games, that's not going to be good enough. We've got to be able to run the ball, and I just don't see us doing it with the O-line that we have intact. But the thing is about the jumbo, if you put in Brett Jones as your fullback, if anything sneaks through the front three, he's going to be able to take that out as being a almost 300-pound fullback.
Okay.
And to me is you've got to show that. When we were down there, you know, first and goal on the 1 yard line, bring in the jumbo package. You know, at least they know, hey, they're going to run it. Then you can fake the run, you know, and then you might have a guy wide open in the corner. You know, I mean, I think we at least have to show it and
okay,
at least, you know, try with that package. I think you'll be able to run better than we are right now.
All right. So in the game when we came down, we weren't quite in the jumbo package, but we were just in, like, you know, standard formation. The first play they ran, they tackled us in the backfield right up the middle.
Yeah.
Right?
Because we didn't have a fullback in there.
If you
had Jones in there, 300 pounds.
So you do
that
realize,
might have,
Charlie,
that might have, we at least got to go up to the line of scrimmage maybe.
So
you know?
You do realize if the first guy comes through the line into the backfield, he meets the fullback in the backfield.
Right.
So that
would at least get us back to the line of scrimmage, though. That's what I'm saying. At least that would have been better than getting a 2-yard loss.
Okay.
But that's okay. You know,
I got you.
I would like to see us do it. The other thing I wanted to say is that Cameron Wake is available. Miami wants to trade him, and I'm sure we could get like a 6th or 7th round pick for him. I think he'd be a great rotation guy for a DN, for a pass rusher, which I think we're lacking. I think the reason why they don't trust the other guys we have, look what happened when Double O got in there, and he ended up with a penalty, 15-yard, that could have cost us the game. So if I'm Spags, am I going to trust that guy in a very critical situation again?
Hold on for a second before you go any further with that.
Yeah.
Did you see that penalty?
Yeah,
You thought that was a penalty?
Yeah, I did. He hit him. He had a couple steps. He could have held up. He wasn't that close. I watched it twice.
That wasn't a crushing play. It was just we had a great set of officials.
Hey, Charlie.
I'm not going to complain about the officials.
He was late. It wasn't like a crushing hit. I'm not saying it was. But it was late. I mean, he had a couple steps before he hit him, and the ball was already out.
Okay.
But, I mean, I wouldn't trust him. You know, but somebody like Cameron Wake would really help this rotation. And I hope Jerry's on the phone and at least talking to them.
Charlie, just give me half a second.
Don't do it. Let me ask one more question before you do.
Sure.
So if the Dolphins want to get rid of him, why do they want to get rid of him?
Because he's 34 years old, and the Giants know this dude because we ended up drafting him. Do you know that?
Yeah.
We drafted him.
No, Charlie, that's not true. He was brought into the Giants as a rookie on the practice squad. And after a short cup of coffee on the practice squad, he was released, and then he wound up going to Canada for a couple of years, became a star in Canada, then came back to the NFL with the Miami Dolphins. Please, make sure you get it right. Make sure you get it right.
It's okay.
All right. No, but I know we know the dude. We know the guy. But to me, it's like he would help our pass rush. And I would think that if we want to make the team better, we can. November 1st is still a couple of weeks away.
Okay.
There is somebody out there that we could try to make the team better.
Now,
that's
Charlie,
saying,
I appreciate
guys.
It. I appreciate it. Thank
okay,
you for the call.
You. Have it's fun a, in London.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Calm call. And
I like
and,
Charlie.
And,
I like Charlie.
That was that. Good. That's a good call. I would just say, Charlie, if you get a second to go on the internet, I'm not being funny. The Palm Beach Post has a story 3 days ago. Cameron Wake back in the mix on Miami Dolphins defensive line. So apparently, if he, quote, was on the outs, I'm going to trust the Miami media on this because I don't cover the Dolphins.
Don't do that. Do it like this. So let's address. I'll address two things he said.
Go ahead.
First off, on the offensive line, running the ball up the middle, again, they hit us in the backfield. If you have a fullback in the backfield, when the guy breaks through the line of scrimmage, that's the guy that the fullback meets. So that puts the ball even further back. And that straight line is not a straight line anymore. We need to work on that. We got to find a way to be better with those initial blocks. As far as Cameron Wake, I always tell people the same thing. If someone's willing to get rid of him, it's because he's deficient at something. You don't get rid of players that are deficient.
Well, sometimes there's a bad coaches conflict and a personality conflict. Sometimes it's not just production. You know that, Howard.
All right. Let me say this. If that's the Herm Edwards view of coaching, what you just said. And where's Herm now? Huh? Working at ESPN. You find a way to make
the Dolphins aren't exactly Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah,
though.
but again, if you want to stay in the league, you find a way.
I understand.
What's that guy's name in Cincinnati? Everybody's all upset about it. He hit the guy low, but they're like, well, why isn't the coach finding him? Why isn't the coach setting him out again? Like, the NFL's supposed to find him. If they're going to let him play, I got to let him play because I need a chance to win. And that's what you're doing as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to find a way to win. I don't discredit Cameron Wake's ability or anything like that. But if I need a guy, if Cameron Wake can help my team, I want him to help my team.
I understand that.
Yeah. So that's what I have on that.
Time for one more quick phone call. Adam, I want to sneak you in because you've been on hold and we're running out of time.
Great. Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate you making the adjustment there. The sky's a little bluer this week. Everything's a little more cheery, and the week's been a lot better so far after a win.
Yep. Thank you.
And not to mention, I got to hear Ann and Charlie in the same day. That's always worth a dose of laughter as well. It's shaping up to be a pretty good day.
Ann's fired up down there, man. She's hot right now.
if I remember correctly, Ann once said that we were soft because we don't put in a read option package for Eli Manning. So, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion, I guess, but I always enjoy hers.
Quickly, Adam, please.
We didn't have a lot of success running the ball this past week, but it looked like maybe the Eli and the receivers kind of got in tune and the passing game became effective. One, I was surprised to see Orleans Darkwa not get any carries. I mean, I think you guys know I'm a fan of him. The other question I guess I have is, do you think Paul Perkins has a chance to kind of maybe develop into that Shane Vereen role? With Vereen obviously out, I think he's had some success in a little bit of short passing routes and screens and been a little bit of a catalyst for the offense. I'd kind of like to see more of that. I just wonder what you guys thought about that.
I think the running game has been, you know, product of what's been going on for the entire year. But I do think Paul Perkins is going to see some more time. My question is, are they going to let him see time in the Shane Vereen role, or are they going to try to get him more active time? The kid's really explosive. You can see when he gets out on the edge, he does great. Again, the only thing I can say is, the only question I'd have, and I don't know this, is how well is he versed in pass protection? Because if a quarterback is at the line of scrimmage or in a shotgun and he is calling plays off the cuff, so to speak, he may check to a pass play when you're in there for a run. It looks like a blitz. You check him in at that moment. Can he and will he be able to pick up that blitzer? That's the only thing I can, you know, say that would be the only thing that's holding him back, is how quickly can you get him into the game.
Mm-hmm. Is that all? Oh, he's gone already. All right. That was our final caller of the day. Remember, you could always check out Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com every single weekday from 12 noon until 1 p.m. And we are being told by Dave Dominic, our producer, there will be no show on Friday. I believe the office, or at least some portions of the office, will be shut down because of the London trip.
Yeah, we'll be in London.
That is true. But we will be back. I think it might be you and me tomorrow. Maybe?
No. Tomorrow.
Not tomorrow?
I don't know.
Might be.
No one's told me.
Might be us tomorrow.
Probably
I don't know.
Probably Feagles.
Could be Feagles. Okay. Anyway, from 12 noon until 1 p.m. Eastern Time, every weekday, Eastern Time here on Giants.com, Big Blue Kickoff Live, 201-939-4513. Write down the number or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter for Howard Cross. I'm Paul Dottino. We'll see you next time.
Unless you're doing a show for Dolphins.